Today, I'm going to read just a couple of verses from the Gospel of John. This is John chapter 11 and verses 25 and 26. It says this: Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" I wonder if we did a survey and asked what people thought Easter was all about, or what Easter meant to them. In fact, if we did a survey of everyone here, or even just some of the symbols that come into your mind when you think about Easter, I wonder what you would say. Now, earlier, Harold and I were talking in the vestry, and Harold prayed during our early communion service, and I thought he'd be reading my sermon notes. What is Easter all about? What are the things that come into our minds when we think about Easter? Well, go on, Daniel.
Jesus risen from the dead.
Yeah, that is the right answer. But what are the other symbols that we think about? Molly? Oh, the cross. Yeah, everyone's been way too spiritual for me this morning. I was thinking of Easter eggs. Shame on me. Has anyone got more than one Easter egg? More than two? Not more than three, surely. More than four? More than five? Wow, some hands going up. We're not going to keep counting after five. Wow, lots and lots of Easter eggs. One of my early memories of Easter was something that used to happen on Saturday, Easter Saturday. My granddad and grandma farmed a fell called Fairsnape Fell, which is at a place called Chipping. And one of the things we used to do every year was something called egg rolling. Has anyone been egg rolling before? One or two hands going up. What you used to do was boil an egg, and then you would decorate it however you wanted. And we would go to Fairsnape Fell, not quite the steepest part of a fell, but just on some fields, some hills, and we'd all roll our eggs down the hill. And the person's egg that got the furthest without breaking would be the winner, and you'd have loads of fun in running down after it, picking it up, going back up and starting again. And of course, when it broke, you got to peel the shell off and eat it. So that was like a bonus as well. And that was one of the things we did. So that's eggs. Now, another thing you might think about at Easter time, of course, is Easter bunnies. Anyone got more than five bunny rabbits this morning? No one's. Oh, we've got some more hands going up. So maybe Beulah will like the bunny rabbits. So there, bunnies, that's another thing perhaps people think about at Easter time. What about this one? Baby lambs, new baby lambs. And recently I was up at my mum and dad's farm and we were stroking some new baby lambs, so they were nice to see. Or perhaps you might think of ducklings, maybe that's another thing that you think about at Easter time. Or finally, perhaps daffodils, another thing. Now, these are all things that people think about at Easter time, but many people stop there. Many people think that's all Easter's about. But actually, Easter is about way more than all those things, because all those things are pointing to something. See, out of eggs, you get chickens and robins and snakes and all things hatch. It's all about new life. Baby lambs, that's all about new life. Daffodils, that's about springtime and new life on its way. Baby bunnies and ducklings, they're all about new life. And this morning, if you forget everything else, I want you to remember this one thing. Easter isn't about eating chocolate. It's not about daffodils. It's not about bunny rabbits. The main thing Easter is all about life. So do not forget that. That's the one thing we need to remember today. Easter is all about life, and especially about new life. So Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And very quickly this morning, because it's very warm in here, and the pasties smell good wafting up the stairs, I want us to remember or think about two things. Firstly, that Jesus beats death. That's Easter. And then also, we don't need to fear death. So firstly, Jesus beats death. Here I have a visual aid hiding under the piano. Here is a little plant.
I'm going to have to get something to put it on because the roots are coming out the bottom. And I don't know whose cleaning week it is, but I don't want to get in trouble. So I'll put that on there. And then also in this this packet, here we go, what are these? Can everyone see those? They're some seeds. Specifically, they're parsley seeds. They're for growing the plant parsley, which you can add to your cooking and different things. And these seeds and this plant remind me all about what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. I think God designed plants to grow from seeds so that we would remember all about the Easter story. Don't worry, there's not going to be parsley growing on the platform. That went on the plastic, and I will make sure I collect all those. But I'd just like you to think about seeds and plants just for a moment. See, that seed, or those seeds, they are lifeless, aren't they? They look dead. It's like they're just there. They just look like dust or something you would throw in the bin. And on Good Friday, what we remember at this time of year, the Romans executed Jesus. They deliberately sought to kill him in the most painful way possible. Now, nobody took Jesus' life from him. He gave it voluntarily. But just like those seeds are lifeless, in the same way, Jesus' body was lifeless. His body was dead. The Roman soldiers took a spear to make sure that Jesus was definitely dead. Now, what do you do next with a seed? Next, you take a seed that looks lifeless and you put it under the soil, don't you? You push it into the ground. And in the same way, Jesus' body was taken off the cross. Two men actually took Jesus' body. They were called Joseph of Arimathea and also Nicodemus. And those men took loads of spices and linen cloth, and they wrapped Jesus up in this cloth with all these spices, and they went and put him in a new tomb, a tomb that no one had ever used. They put him in there, and a huge stone was rolled in front of the door. Now, what happens next? So you take a lifeless seed, you push it under the soil, but then that happens. From that lifeless seed, new life emerges. It pops out from under the soil and is there for everybody to see. And in the same way, Jesus' body that was placed in that tomb, well, we've sung loads of songs, haven't we? The grave couldn't hold him. And on Easter Sunday morning, when the first disciples went to the tomb of Jesus, like you can see on that little picture, the stone had been rolled away and there was nobody in the tomb. Now, that doesn't mean Jesus is alive just because there was an empty tomb. But it wasn't just that the tomb was empty. Many, many different people, in fact, 500 all at one occasion, saw Jesus alive. See, just like those seeds, new life had come. Jesus had beaten death. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is alive. He's alive today. He beat death, never to die again. Our second point. We don't need to fear death. Now, what does that mean? In the beginning, there wasn't any death in the world. Death only came because man disobeyed God. God was very clear. If man didn't follow his simple instructions, they would die. And because Adam and Eve listened to God's enemy instead of God, death came into the world. And if you go and open your Bible, maybe at some time at home, and if you read the first few chapters in the Bible, you'll see that you come to a family tree. It records all about Adam and Eve's children. And each time it lists a person, it says, after it says their name, it says, and they died. And they died. See, death had come into the world. Now, a few times in the Bible, God or Jesus raised people from the dead. So when Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, he actually was going to go and bring a man called Lazarus back to life again. He went to where Lazarus was buried. He'd been there 4 days. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus just came out. See, God is more powerful than death. But Lazarus would have to die again. But since Jesus defeated death, never to die again, that means we don't need to fear death. See, because sin came into the world, mankind didn't do what God wanted, Because we all face death and then God's judgment, it was something to fear. But Jesus took the penalty on the cross that should have been ours. Because Jesus died and rose again, our sins can be forgiven. Our sins can be wiped out. And we're a little bit like that seed, if you like. Even though we will all one day die, when Jesus returns to this earth, we will receive new resurrection bodies, ones that never age. Won't that be good? Ones that never get tired. Won't that be good? Ones that never decay or wear out. Won't that be good? Brilliant bodies that don't need hip replacements and don't need false teeth and don't need hearing aids. We'll have bodies that do not get disease. Bodies that are just perfect. And that's why we don't need to fear death. See, that's what Jesus was doing at Easter time. It was all about new life. Now, in our reading said this. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? At the end of those verses, there is a condition. Now, I've got £10 here. And this is just everyone's head's just all sudden like pricked up then. Did you see that, Marlene? Everyone all sudden started taking note. This is an illustration. I'm not going to give this to anybody. This is going home with me. Let me just state that now. But if I said, I will give £10 to every person who raises their hand. Okay. Now, thank you for those who put your hands up. Like I said, you're not getting anything. But if people didn't raise their hands, they wouldn't get the £10 note. Okay, there is a condition attached. The condition is the raising of your hand. Do you see, if you kept your hand down, you would get nothing. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Here comes the condition. See, people don't need to fear death if, and here's the condition, he who believes in me. Now, that doesn't simply mean that we just have this sort of notion in the back of my mind that Jesus existed. That doesn't mean having some notion in the back of my mind that Jesus was even God's son. No, to believe in Jesus is so much more than that. It is to believe him in such a way that I believe everything he said. I take him at his word. I trust what he has said in the Bible. I see that his way of living is right. Believing in him means that he is my Lord. He is Almighty God, and I need to do what he says. I need to trust him no matter what. I was driving around Wigan the other day, and there are many signs, aren't there? Do you see it says like Wigan, and underneath it says believe. Have you seen those around Wigan? I think that's all to do with probably Wigan rugby or football. And it's this sort of idea that we all need to have positive attitudes towards Wigan Athletic or the rugby team. And I think the thought is, if we all have positive feelings about them, they might do a bit better. Unlikely. You know, Wigan are pretty close to being relegated again, aren't they? Maybe we're not believing hard enough. That's just wishful thinking, isn't it? That's not the type of believing that Jesus is talking about. The sort of believing Jesus is talking about is looking at the facts, looking at the fact of the empty tomb, looking at the fact that he says he's risen again and people have seen him, and basing your entire confidence for life on him. That's the condition. Believe in me, Jesus said. So this morning, do you believe? Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Do you believe this? It can either be a yes or a no. A not sure is a no. That's something for us all to think about, I'm sure. It makes all the difference to our lives if we believe. If we don't believe, we do not have a good future. Jesus came to this earth to give his life so we might have life. And that life's available for all those who believe. We're going to close as we sing our final song. I'll be available after, hanging about. If you'd like to talk with me about anything I've said, I'll love to talk with you. But we're now going to sing that great hymn of triumph, which is 689, "Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son." We'll stand to sing, then we'll remain.